So I was reading about a great story of a pastor who was in his office in his house preparing for his sermon, and little daughter that he had came in and said, "Daddy, can we play?" And the pastor said to his daughter, "I'm sorry, sweetie, but Dad has to finish his sermon. But after I'm done, we can play in about an hour." And she says, "Daddy." "Yeah, when you're finished, I'm going to give you a big hug." He said, "Oh, that's good." And she started to walk away. And then she turned around and ran back up to him and gave him a hug and then let go and began to walk away. And he said, "Well, I thought you were going to wait until, you know, I was done and then give me the hug." He said, She said, "I just wanted to let you know what you have to look forward to." Huh? Yeah. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about something to look forward to. Amen? Hey, I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm not careful, I can miss the beauty of fall because my mind wants to go on what comes after it. You understand? And isn't that a terrible way to live? You know, like, you know, you miss the beauty of the day because you're afraid of something that's going to come later. And I don't want to be like that. How about it? Do you? I want to be able to really just enjoy the opportunities that God gives us each and every day with the hope of something to look forward to. Hey, spring will come. Can't come soon enough, right? Yeah. But we all live with a need to have something to look forward to. Every human being has to have that. It is what sustains our will to live. Amen? It is what sustains our will to live, something to look forward to. The literal clinical definition of depression is when you can't see anything that you are looking forward to. God is a God of hope, and God is a God who always holds out for us something to look forward to. Amen? I want to read you our text scripture this morning. That we're going to park at today and just really enjoy God's word. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. We'll put it up on the screen as well. 1 Peter, and it's chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 we're going to be looking at today, and we'll start down in verse 7. And we'll read just a couple of verses down through verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, something to look forward to. So check it out. Peter says in this verse, in verse 7, something that we have been talking about, something that we have been aware of. We look all around this. We're not unaware of this. He says, "The end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, because of that," he says, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. He said, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." He goes on with specifics. He says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." He says, "Listen, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it with the idea that he's speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God would be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Okay, listen. Are we living our lives with a view of eternity? You know, let's start out with this question, a really key question. Are we living our lives with a view of eternity? What does that even mean? You know, a person that doesn't have a faith, a person that isn't a Christian, a person that doesn't have the hope that we have, all they can do is look at their present circumstance. All they can do is look at what's right in front of them, because they don't know the one who holds the future. And they don't know the future that God promises to those who love him. When we live in view of eternity, it means that we understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has promised us an eternity with Him that is better by far than anything we have ever experienced before. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've seen good and bad, and I'm guessing that's probably the same for you, right? Sometimes, you know, the bad seems to come in heaps, right? In just floods. But we also get to experience the good as well. And when you really take time to think about it, the good that we're talking about, the good that we look back and we say, God is good, God is faithful, are those things in our life that are most meaningful, the things in our life that brought us joy, the things in our life that we can say to one another, the Lord has blessed me. What is that? Well, that's why Peter goes on to talk about, you know, this issue of love deeply. Love deeply, because I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that is a greater blessing to have loved deeply and to have received deep love. Amen? There's nothing that comes even close to that experience. And this is what God has died to give us, both in this life and in the life to come. Amen? Huh. You know, being able to look forward to something is what gets us through where we're at right now, especially if where we're at right now is a tough place. Yeah. I want you to think with me about a Savior, Christ, that understands our human weakness, all right? That understands what it's like to go through things. Now, if I were to ask you, what really was the greatest challenge in Jesus' life, what would you tell me? I mean, where was the point in his life where he needed so desperately that view of eternity, that's something to look forward to, that he even despaired of life? What was that point in his career, in his earthly career? It was Gethsemane. It was Gethsemane that prepared him for the cross. It was there that we find out from the book of Hebrews that it says these powerful words for us to hold on to today. It says this: for Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. You see, what God the Father did for Jesus was an amazing thing. As Jesus prepared for what he knew was coming, at first, as you can understand, his eyes were right there on the cross. That's where his focus was. We understand it. He could see it coming. And he knew he also had the power to stop it, yet it wasn't God's will to stop it. So the agony in his soul reached a pinnacle, reached the worst point in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed so earnestly, so fervently, that his sweat became like drops of blood. Now, you go from reading that passage to the next passage where Jesus gets up from prayer, and you miss something. You miss what enabled him to get up. That's what you find in Hebrews. You see, the Father, so lovingly, what he did for Jesus and what he does for you and will do for you, is he allowed Jesus to look beyond the cross and see the glory. Now, God is a God of revelation. Can we stay there just for a moment and let me talk a little bit about that? You know, God desires to reveal himself to each one, to each person, to you. God desires to reveal himself to you. Now, as you're sitting here, some of you may think, well, yeah, but where is he? And, you know, how come I don't see him, at least right now? The scriptures tell us this, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And there is this principle that we find at work in the kingdom of God, that God desires for us to seek Him. I guess we can understand that, can't we? I mean, let's go back, guys, to the time when we were dating or just about ready to date our wives, you know, and what goes through your mind and what's in our heart, you know? It's like, what does she feel about me? Now, what happens whenever she did something to let you know that she kind of liked you, you know, that she really was wanting to be with you? I mean, it does something to you, doesn't it? I mean, there's a principle at work here. You see, what happens is God is the one that gave us all of our emotions. We're created in His image and His likeness, so we don't have to wonder, you know, whether God feels what we feel. He's the one that started it all. Everything we have and everything we are came from Him, and He first possessed it and then gave us of Himself when He created us. And so God experiences the incredible gamut of emotions because He's the one of which they come from. And so God, when we get this glimpse, this revelation, you know, of how we feel, we can understand better how God feels. You see? It's so wonderful to be able to dig in like that and to see a God who is passionate about us, who is jealous for us, and who literally loves it when He sees us wanting Him, seeking Him. Oh, this is our God in His heart for us. And so what God does is this, and it's actually, you know, wisdom beyond belief. He reveals Himself more to those who diligently seek Him. You know, I know sometimes in our lives we wonder, you know, is God there? Does He care? Is He aware? But, you know, it's at those times in our life when we need to seek more. Those times in our life we need to press into Him. We need to cry out to Him, call on Him. Listen, He really hears those cries, and He responds to them. To all who would seek Him, He begins to reveal Himself, revealing who He is. You know, this is where faith gets stronger and trust is birthed, is when we begin to see what God is really like, when we begin to get a revelation of who He is. There is such a difference, you know. You can say there is a God, but as I told some folks this week and last week, actually, when I was visiting them, you know what? It doesn't do you much good just to believe there is a God. I mean, what does it say in the Scriptures? Even the devils believe there's a God. So I said to one person, you're in good company. I don't think he liked that too much. I knew him pretty well, Jane. It's okay. I yeah. There's such a difference, you know, in just saying, I believe there's a God. That really doesn't get you through. But coming to know that God who you believe in. Remember that old hymn? How many remember that old hymn? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. Yeah. You know, knowing God is, what that means is that you have sought Him and He has revealed Himself to you. You have discovered what He's really like. You're not just guessing and hoping and, you know, wondering. You see, when we just wonder who God is and things go wrong in our life, you know what happens, don't you? We're fearful. We're lost. Even if we believe there is a God, we're lost until we can say, wait a minute, I know my God. He said He'll never leave me or forsake me. I know my God. He cares for me. I know my God. He loved me so much that He gave His Son. He hasn't brought me this far to leave me. Amen. He didn't teach me to swim, the song says, to let me drown. He didn't build his home in me to move away. Amen. He didn't lift me up to let me down. That's our God. And God desires to reveal that to those who seek him. He desires to reveal himself. Now, how much of God is there to reveal? Oh, how much of God is there to reveal? All right, so check this out. In my prayer one day, you know, I'm talking to the Lord and journaling, and I'm talking to him about the contrast that I've experienced in my life, just like you, the good and the bad. And it was after he brought me through something hard in our family's life. And so what happened is, as I was praying and journaling at that time, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I appreciate so much now having come through this, you know, the place that you've brought me to now, the better place than during that trouble in my life. And it feels so good here. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I know I can appreciate where I'm at right now better because of what I've been through. And so I started musing and thinking and talking to him. And I said, Lord, you know, heaven is going to be really great, right? That's a rhetorical question. Heaven, saying to the Lord, heaven is going to be really great, right? So I said to the Lord, now what happens when we get to heaven and we've gone 1,000 years with everything being good? Are we going to still have this kind of human nature that will have then grown accustomed to the good to the point where we don't appreciate it anymore? Do you understand my question to the Lord? You know human nature. Here upon this earth, what happens when we go through a really good spell, and that good spell is long enough, is our tendency is to forget about the goodness of the Lord, to forget about, you know, what he's brought us through. That's our tendency. If we lose sight of the contrast, the hard times, then all of a sudden we're not appreciative. I mean, I have talked to so many people that older people, I say older now, and you younger folks are going to get a smile out of this now, because older to me is, you know, 70, 80, 90, you know. Older used to be what I am now, so it's no longer older, you understand? So I'm talking about, and I've talked to people who have actually lived through the Depression. Have you ever met somebody that lived through the Depression? Have you ever talked to them? You know, most people that have weathered that storm have a deep appreciation for the things of life. That's right. You know some too. I mean, I remember a lady from Osterbrück that I used to visit, and that lady, I opened up her, I was helping her make some, what were we making that day? Something that she was famous for. What was we making? It'll come to me, but I opened up her cupboard, and there were so many plastic containers that it was a wall of plastic containers. Now, none of them were new, and none of them were actually store-bought. They were all kept from margarine, you know, containers, and everything else that comes in plastic with a lid on, she would keep. And the reason that she would keep those containers is that day when we got done eating, and there was 2 teaspoons of corn left in the bowl, and I was going to scrape it into the garbage can. Oh, boy, did I almost get myself in trouble. No, 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 don't you throw that away, she said. There's a small container in there. And she had me open the cupboard and point to the real small one, and in went the 2 teaspoons of corn. Why? That's it. That's because of what she had been through. She gained such an appreciation. It was really... amazing experience for me. Humbling, right? But here's the thing. I was talking to the Lord then about this, and I said, what will keep us from losing that kind of perspective, losing the appreciation of the goodness of heaven. And so, you know what happens when you ask the Lord a question. You've asked him some questions, right? Normally, he doesn't give you a big booming voice from heaven that says, "This is why," right? Has he done that to anybody? Okay, I just wondered. He usually really calls me into the scriptures and leads me through sometimes to a point where I can read something and something speaks to me in it. Has he done that to you? Yeah, that's often how he inspires these days, right? And that's what he did for me that day. And as I was reading a passage about heaven, you know this passage. Listen to it. You can say it too off by hand, heart, I bet. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Did you realize there's a but in the next word? Not this but, that B-U-T, not B-U-T-T. But, so listen to the whole verse now. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Ooh. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, when I read that, here's the flood of thoughts that came. Now check this out. The flood of thoughts that came that I began to journal was every day in heaven will be better than the day before because God will reveal more of himself. Come on. Come on now. You got to grab that. I mean, wait a minute here. I think I have to back up. Now wait. Do you realize how incredible it is when God reveals himself? So Moses, right? Moses is seeing God's miracles. He saw the burning bush first. He saw all the miracles in Egypt, right? He saw him part the Red Sea, the cloud, you know, and the fire. But still, when he gets to the mountain and he goes up to be with the Lord, he asks of the Lord this thing, "Show me your glory." That's right. Show me your glory. What was that about, church? Moses instinctively knew this God that had revealed himself in so many powerful ways, there was more. There was more. And Moses wanted it. Now, I want to tell you something about God. God never once said to Moses, "Oh, get out of here." God never once said to Moses, "You know, you don't even know what you're asking for." You know what God did? Made accommodation for Moses to receive something special that day. And you know what it was, right? You remember the passage of Scripture. God put him in a cleft of the rock. Remember that song, old hymn we sang about that? And put his hand over Moses' eyes so while the glory was passing by, Moses would not see his face and die, but instead, when the glory was passing by and he got behind him, he lifted his hand that Moses would be able to see the glory from behind, and it was so powerful that Moses' whole being began to radiate with that glory, and that was just seeing his behind. I mean, no disrespect. But that's just seeing the back of God's glory. I mean, come on, church. We gotta know what's in store for us. We gotta know the glory that's gonna be revealed to us when we see him face to face. If we don't start talking about this, we're not gonna be excited about it. We're not gonna be able to live our life with the perspective God wants us to. You see? This is what God wants for us, is to be able to understand what he has in store for those who love him. Amen? A glory, the scripture says, that will far outweigh anything that we have ever experienced in this life. And we've experienced wonderful things in this life. But I'm telling you, my friends, the best is yet to come. And if we do not hear that, bring it into our spirit and let God's Spirit speak that to us, we will not live with our lives in the perspective that he wants us to. We must gain this perspective. because it'll change the way we live for the better. It'll change the way you live now for the better. You will have a greater appreciation for the things of this life when you live in a view with a view of eternity. Amen? So Peter says, you know, the end of all things is near. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be clear-minded and self-controlled. Now, these are two great words, and you know I kind of mess with Greek sometimes just to dig into the original language to see how the translators came up with these words, you know. And that's fun to do because you can see how different translations came to be when you kind of dig into that original word. Turn the heat down a little bit. I don't know about you, but it's warm in here. Yeah. So I don't think I have my microphone in my coat. If I do, it's in trouble. So listen. So when you get into those words, clear-minded and self-controlled, what you find out is this. Let's start with clear-mindedness, you know. This, how many have had a really rough night and before you've had your coffee in the morning, your wife or your husband asked you a question that's complicated. Can you say yes like me? Don't you hate that? I mean, come on. I hate that. I mean, I sometimes just ignore it, usually to my peril, but you know, it's because I'm not yet ready to deal with that. You understand what I mean? I'm not ready to deal with that question yet. Where did that come from? You know, where you dream about that, sleep on it all night? No, I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm not clear-minded, you see. I'm not thinking clearly. I'm not thinking clearly. Now, to think clearly means to think with proper perspective. That's what think clearly means, to think with proper perspective. And you see, this is what God's Spirit is here to do, is to allow us to be able to process His inspiration correctly, thinking clearly. So you know how it works, right? So you get saved, you get filled with God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is now within you, and He desires to inspire you. Now, like I said, He doesn't typically speak in audible sounds, but what He does is He tries to bring from His Spirit through your spirit into your mind His thoughts. Oh, yeah, this is how He tries to get through to you. But you know, when you're not clear-minded, that is like a blockage in your spirit, in your soul. That inspiration is there wanting to come through. And now it gets up into this cobweb of unclear-mindedness, and you're not able to process His inspiration. So clear-mindedness is when you are in tune with the Spirit of God, when your mind is on the right things, right? There's so many things that compete for our attention all the time. There really is. All the time there's stuff competing for the attention of our mind, our focus. What this scripture is telling us is be aware of that. And when you're seeking God, what you want is the clear-mindedness that allows His inspiration to come, the revelation to come, and therefore gives you words to live by, stand on. Amen? Self-controlled. It's a hand-in-glove statement that Peter makes. These two things are complementary, clear-mindedness and self-control. Because once your mind clears, you've had your coffee. Once your mind clears, you put your mind on the right things. Once your mind clears, the Spirit of God is flowing. Then self-control is possible. You know when self-control is not possible? When you're not thinking clearly. I mean, you know, this is what happens when you're 16 years old, 18 years old, and your hormones are raging, right? And, you know, you're not thinking clearly, right? Yeah, it's what you got to be aware of, and it's what your parents try to speak into your life, and you just think they're stupid. You just think they don't know what they're talking about. It's only because they've been there, done that. They've got the t-shirt, they never want to show it to you, but they got it. You know? You've been there where you're not able to be self-controlled. Self-control, I want to tell you what, there is not a successful person in this earth that has not understood the power of self-control. You cannot be successful by any definition without self-control. An unself-controlled person just flows with their emotions and their passions to their detriment, to their peril, right? A self-controlled person, because they're able to think clearly, is able to process the inspiration of God and actually act upon it. You see? Self-control. These two things go hand in glove. Now we're going to go fast. Peter also says this, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. I need some more time and we don't have it, so we're going to try to go quickly here, but this is powerful stuff. Do you know that, I already talked about the deepness of love, but do you realize that it is through love that sin was atoned for, and now God has invested in you something that not many people think about. He's invested in you the power to forgive. And Jesus was talking about this. Jesus was saying, if you forgive anybody their sins, I will forgive them too. When was the last time you heard a sermon about that? Not very often, right? It's a very powerful gift that God gives us in the new covenant to forgive like he forgives and to offer other people grace and forgiveness. And we do it out of love. Love covers over a multitude of sins. What a powerful phrase. What a powerful word from the Lord. Love covers over a multitude of sins. You realize what that means? Just as your love was covered over and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, so now God gives you the grace to be able to love so deeply that you don't focus on other people's wrongs, other people's sins. Now, I've been picking on husbands and wives today, so I might as well just pick one last time in saying that, you know, this is what we strive for in our marriage relationship, that our love grows so deeply that we're not so picky-oon about the stuff that our wives drive us crazy. I mean, right? Yeah. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude. In the body of Christ, this is how the body stays in unity. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen? We understand the depth of love that we have been given and we're willing to give it to others. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Give. Use your gifts, he says. I'm really speeding up now for the sake of time. Use your gifts to serve one another, he says. All in this attitude, this environment of deep love, because you know the love that God has given to you. So I got to tell you this one illustration to lead us right into communion, and we'll kind of get ready to close on this. So check it out. I'm using that phrase a lot this morning for some reason. Check it out. So here's the story. This Florida family, didn't have much money. They lived in a trailer next to a little lake in Florida. And they had some kids in school. The one boy came home from school. It was toward the end of school. The weather was hot. And he couldn't wait to get his clothes off and go running into the lake that was right behind their house. So he left his clothes. They were strewn behind him as he ran toward the water to jump in to cool off. His mother was in the kitchen. She was cooking dinner, and she looks out, and as he hits the water splashing and begins to just enjoy himself, she sees an alligator heading toward him. With panic, she runs out of the house screaming. He's splashing, and at first doesn't hear her until she gets up to the water. Finally, he sees her. Then he hears her, and he knows something's wrong, and he begins to swim toward her. He gets to the shore at the same time the alligator gets to him. And literally, the story that I was reading says that the alligator clamped onto his legs the same time his mother clamped onto his arms. And then there began a tug of war. Now, I want to tell you something about a mother in love with her children. They don't give up easy, do they? Uh-uh. That mama had a grip on that child. Her fingers were embedded into that boy's arms. Pulling, tugging, not giving up, but quite frankly, not winning the battle against this alligator. Luckily, who believes in luck? The farmer next door heard the screaming, and he sees what's going on, comes running with his 30-aught, puts one in between the eyes of this alligator, and of course, the alligator lets go. The ambulance is called. The boy is saved, but yet not without tremendous scars as the teeth of this alligator dug in. So the boy gets to school after his recovery, and the kids are all wanting to see the scars. You know, these are battle scars right now. These are battle scars. So interestingly, the ones that he showed were not the ones on his leg. In pride, he pulls his sleeve up and says, "These are where my mother's fingers were embedded into my arm and wouldn't let go. These were the scars of love." Now, I'm going to tell you, we understand the scars of love that we're about to remember in communion. Amen? How can we have a love so deep for us that we cannot offer this kind of love to one another? How can we live our lives the same after we have been given such a great salvation? How can we live our lives knowing the future that we have waiting for us, the glory to be revealed, without giving thanks, without loving deeply? My friends, this is what we have been given. This is what we celebrate today. This is what we remember. And this is the power for living. A life that looks forward, and a life that knows the power of love, the power of the glory that God so blessed us with, and yet waits to give us the best. So let's partake of communion today and recognize just how deep. Hey, Doug, the song that I was telling Dee I can't get out of my head is that he is jealous for me, love like a hurricane. There's a passage in this scripture. Here's the verse that I want you to focus on as we go into communion. There's a verse that says, "These afflictions eclipsed by glory." How many remember that verse in the song? Afflictions eclipsed by glory. So I want you to see your afflictions today in light of the glory. Amen? And as you pray to receive communion, as you prepare your heart, I'm going to ask you to ask God to reveal just a glimpse of that glory to you, that you will be so thankful as we partake of communion together. Amen? Afflictions eclipsed by glory. Do you need help today to get through what you're going through right now? This is what this is about. Allow God to reveal himself to you. Receive him. Receive communion with him today. And allow his love and the glory that he'll reveal to eclipse all of the afflictions. Can I have the ushers, please?